I'll call the meeting to order. This is the April 26th meeting of the Infrastructure Task Force. And I'll note who is here. And we can start with the approval of tonight's agenda. So if we could, if you'd like to review it, and if anyone has any discussion, let's go ahead and do that. You do sort of official Robert's rules, or are we good with that?
Pretty loose.
Pretty loose. All right. Very good.
For the formal.
Okay.
Unless
all right.
He senses dissent or.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, approval of the minutes. Have we had a chance to review? And since I wasn't here for that, I will trust you.
The minutes are a little lacking.
Okay. Do you have revisions that you'd like to?
I think somebody ought to start over.
is part of the minutes is the recorded session available? Was it recorded at the last meeting?
I don't know.
I mean, that's why most of the time I think if we're in. There is a right audio. So. To me, other than like some of the names were wrong and some of the people that are here weren't here, that go over. I was not worried about how specific they got, but I agreed with you. There's a lot of points and stuff that wasn't included in the minutes, but I wasn't worried about it if it's all recorded.
Have there been concerns before about the synthesis of the conversation into the minutes, or is there a revision process?
I think since they were recorded, we knew, or we talked about early on about that she wasn't going to record verbatim or the minutes.
Right.
I can't think of, is it Carol? Not Carol, is Carol?
Yeah, she was just going to kind of paraphrase.
Okay.
When it just got kind of hit the highlights.
I noticed that the recordings available on the city website run through the end of the year, but I guess there are existing recordings that are probably just not posted yet, maybe?
I do have a correction for it. I was not here. I was not present at that meeting.
Okay.
John Conway was also not here.
Paul Land was also not here. Carl Scala was here, and Ben Henry was here.
It was Tim Crockett. In the old business he was referring to, it refers to Paul Land, but it was actually Tim Crockett.
Okay. Well, some of these are fairly substantive. Corrections that we'll want to make sure are made on the document.
And I don't know, Dave, were you here? Yeah, and Dave Nichols was not here.
Okay.
Carl and Ben Laundry.
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 Mm-hmm. Spoke.
Okay. Should we table these minutes till next meeting and have the corrections made and revisit at that point?
Yes.
Okay. Any opposed or further discussion? Very good. Okay. Old business. So you can probably see if you were looking at your draft minutes up to last week, I have made some revisions on this, on the agenda. So under old business, having not been here for it, I'm really going to depend on you, on you guys to help me frame this discussion. I have taken a look at the draft reports of recommendations to date, and that's certainly will inform the streets narrative discussion. But the discussion of development cost is a piece of old business from, it looked like, the last couple of agendas, and probably was in response to the presentation at the last meeting by Tim Crockett and Randy Coyle. So sorry to be sort of vague, but I wanted to open up the discussion of development costs and
I think my recollection was that, you know, we pretty much have the narrative
solid. Cody's put a lot of that. And most of the recommendations we've kind of worked through, the one that we're really hanging up on is the development fee, how to define recommendation to council. Contracting.
Okay, so that's specific to the streets recommendations in terms of development costs?
Yeah, I agree with Greg. It was, so that was a big one of the recommendations we were discussing. I think the streets narrative has a lot of fine editing maybe to do, but as far as the big ticket stuff that we really hadn't even come to wording anything that would be like a recommendation was development costs, and we had heard from Ian Thomas, and he had a, you know, a pretty specific presentation with some ideas, and Chris Kelly thought it would benefit us to hear from the development community. So that's when he brought in Tim and Randy. It was tabled. They were going to come in a previous meeting, and that's why it was on a few agendas in a row. But we never actually heard from them until last meeting. And then we didn't actually discuss it between all of us very in detail. I don't know where we want to go with that, but that's, as far as I'm concerned, that was what the development cost was about, and coming up with if we could come to consensus or if we had any specific wording or if anybody wanted to take a stab at it as far as writing a specific recommendation. I had wrote my thoughts down in the streets narrative that we all, I guess, have looked at, but that's just what I've written down. I don't think anybody else has specifically put any directly into that.
Didn't we pull some of the suggestions from a previous task force? One of the meetings we went through all of the suggestions. I don't know if that, those got pulled into the narrative or not.
Yeah, I is the most recent revision that I had. Well, I've only had the original and then my one revision that was presented, I don't know, at the beginning of last meeting or two meetings ago. I did include very roughly each of their recommendations and the status as of today and what the mayor's task force thoughts or would be on that recommendation. But we haven't formally gone through each of those. I don't know if we wanted to go each of those by line by line and discuss that. My notes were a little rough, and so some of those statuses I might not have gotten exactly right. And then as far as our opinions on those, I know I was just going off some pretty rough notes. We can rediscuss those. A lot of this is very specific, like go line by line through there.
I like the way you structured this with the 2011 Infrastructure Task Force recommendations, a comment on their status, and then a brief comment regarding this group's conversation about the recommendations.
Yeah, I figure we should probably keep it brief too. That's why I didn't go into whole detail or regurgitate the whole recommendation, but just try to paraphrase.
Several salient points that came out in that meeting. One was that there seems to be some degree of receptiveness to letting the fee increase to a certain degree, but they wanted some confidence that the funds that were collected were going to be at least identified and preferably identified towards the specific project, which may not be able to be achieved because need might be not be there. It might be a road away or two roads away that's impacting. And the other thing is that we talked about a little bit is, and I think I conveyed this, is that not to use development fees collected for maintenance of roads, more for improvements to the roads because of the development that's going in place. I picked up that we could possibly make recommendations.
I understand what you said. I just want to make sure that we capture this in a way that reflects that. So it sounds like some of the issue or concern about increasing development fees is about insurance that they're related to the project that is happening, and that they are used for the purpose of improvement rather than spread across existing infrastructure.
That was kind of my understanding of the development committee. And to get surety that they're not negotiating, there's not a lot of unknown cost going into a project that they have to negotiate. But in order to achieve that, there needs to be more funds available for the city. That new that's the part that we had trouble defining, you know, what that would project by project.
The development fee wouldn't necessarily be related to the project, would it?
It would have to be, and I think that's what we talked about, is that though the development is here, it impacts, you know, work, you know, half a mile down the road because you're going to have more traffic flow to that development or more impact because of that.
Like an intersection needs to be improved or
correct.
Change from a stop sign to a stoplight to manage traffic,
those
sort of things.
Going to where the development is undersized for the occupancy.
I think that is one of the benefits of a negotiated fee, is that generally it's looking at the immediate impact of the project. And so whatever fee or cost or donation from the developer that's decided upon is generally on for an improvement that's directly impacted by this development. So an intersection immediately adjacent to the subdivision or commercial development such as Boone Hospital, it was that intersection. So if you just want to create this increased predictability where you increase the development fees, you know, two or three times, then how do you ensure, how does the developer ensure that the improvements are actually going to, you know, benefit his property? Or I think that's kind of what he was getting at. The improvements that need to be made that his project might be impacting, he wants to see the money that he's spending spent in that area, as opposed to if you just have an increased development fee, you have this big pot of money that the city then determines the priority, and it may or may not be directly related to. So I think that was one thing they're throwing out there as a thing they would like to see addressed if the development fees were increased, that maybe somehow you could tie it to an area or region of the city, maybe, or an area of plan, like the Northeast Area Plan or the Central West Neighborhood Plan, or I don't know, something like that.
One thing I got out of it, and I didn't really catch this till the end, but is that all developments are not equal. So, you know, we talked about the hospital development at, you know, had something different gone there, the traffic would have been different. Impact would be different. In other words, example, a church went on the corner, it had a lot less traffic flow except for off-peak periods, whereas the hospital's got traffic flow at peak periods throughout. Not all development is equal. Charge and equal. Some may be adequate to, and then something like a hospital, like that was built on that corner, would be raised. It would still not raise up enough funds to cover whatever work might need to be done to traffic in to that facility.
It really introduces a very complex kind of thing to do if you want to make it predictable and have a formula or something that the developer can go at, because essentially you're going back to a case-by-case basis and the city's looking at it as a negotiation, as opposed to if you can just simplify that. And although you're right, each development is created differently, but if you can look at it and kind of use Ian's methodology where you just look at the total amount of improvements that need to be made in the city each year based on what the city staff says needs to be made, and then roll it back all the way into the predicted amount of square footage of buildings, and just whatever percentage of that total infrastructure cost from the city in that year needs to be contributed or funded by the developer, whatever that may be, you know, 20% or 30% of capital improvements, just roll that back into what the fee needs to be to fund the total.
Wouldn't it be volatile then? Because actually, it would.
Well, I mean, it'll be based off of a projection, but I mean, I think it's generally, you know, each year you spend about the same amount of, I mean, not the same amount of money, but you would have a budget, and I think that's one of the things about an increased fee that is also nice, is that the city has increased predictable income and they can defer to areas they need, as opposed to just, well, this intersection gets improved if a developer goes and builds there, like at Boone Hospital, or else they have to have their own money. I don't have a great solution. I'm just talking through this kind of.
Kind of got this. Even if we raise the recommended the fee be raised and the council approved it, there's collected is insufficient to do. Still going to be a negotiated piece. It would be less.
Well, I think that's
some projects would be the fee that's collected would be more than adequate to do whatever.
And I think that's why it would even out, and they would create a simple approach.
I think we though have to still keep separate the new development charge, like the cost that, to hook up a new sewer or whatever the example is, and the negotiated fees at the city. I don't know that we can standardize that. If I think about a neighborhood or 10 houses being built and what the city has to pay to provide the sewer and water lines or whatever, and then let's say with a small development like that, there's the city doesn't foresee any impact to the surrounding area that maybe the developer needs to chip in for. But then you have the Boone Hospital example where there's no way you could raise the development fees enough to cover the costs that the city has to bear all of the upgrades for that. I still think they still have to be separate. I don't know what you could get a new hookup charge high enough to offset getting rid of the negotiated fees. Am I misinterpreting that? But I just don't know how we get away from that.
I think I see what you're saying.
I don't know that the city knows long term what developers are thinking about. You know, there's just so many and they come from everywhere. 5 years, 3 years from now, what they would be looking at for needs, because some of this stuff just comes up.
They do have a list of the needs.
Well, right.
Priorities.
But knowing, for next year, what a development doesn't file their plans for until, they're making plans for 2016, but then it's, a developer files a plan for a development that they're going to do in August of 2016. You know what I mean? I think that there's, since they're not too many sources.
I apologize that I missed the discussion about the Boone Hospital Center project, but were the improvements to the intersection and the other infrastructure items part of Boone's project under the general contractor, or were they actually done by the city, or both, under Boone's contract? And we had a very similar situation with South Providence Medical Building, where we had to add turning lanes and K extended dual lanes, if you remember that improvement through there. I also think about the time implications if you're trying to, that was negotiated and there's no way South Providence could have opened.
I agree that the time implications definitely.
So if
the time implication is very important, and I think that how that could be reconciled is if it is a Boone Hospital type of thing where those improvements need to be made for that project to go in, they still have to do that. But that is put towards their development fee, perhaps. A certain amount of it can be reconciled.
No, if that's all adjacent to their property. If it's something into the main road, I could see that the fee would pay for that. But if it's all adjacent to the property to move traffic flow in and out of their property, and when I go and I look at that, I think a lot of what was done there helped that situation. It did help the intersection as well, but they had to make it so they could get people in and out of their property safely.
Would it be possible for the city to give us an estimate for the last 2 or 3 years if the development fee was increased by 300%, 400%, 500%, if that would offset the cost of off-site negotiated fees?
Well, the development fees would be based on the amount of development that has occurred.
But just to take a historical look at it for the previous 3 years.
Yeah, we have that. It's been averaging about $1.2 million a year, just on average. But the development fee is based on square foot of the building. If the building is a high-intensity building, And there's going to be a need to maybe get a driveway approach or something like that. That's when we negotiate with them to say, to get that driveway approach or that access, we're going to need a D-cell lane or an XL lane or something along those lines. Those development fees are then, by ordinance, are going into our arterials and collectors. So it's not really for that specific site. What happens to a site is generally what the impact of that, because a square footage of a church is different than of a convenience store or for a medical clinic. That's going to generate. And so that impact is going to be something we're going to negotiate to get that driveway permit or whatever to make sure that we aren't disrupting the rest of the flow, that that's going to handle a lot of the level of service issues that come out with the development. Mm-hmm. So those negotiated things are hard to put a price on, because like Boone Hospital, I really don't know what they paid to have all those turn lanes and drop lanes and access points. You know, we negotiated a three-quarter access because we know future Nifong is going to be widened. And so we did those to protect the future impact to the road system based upon the generation that that site was going to create. So it is a really hard, it's not a rubber stamp. You should pay, you know, this for the impact that you're going to cause. So that's why we negotiate those, and it seems to be a back and forth reasonable scenario. A lot of times we do require a traffic study that does state what the developer is, you know, responsible for based upon the traffic generation. I know Mr. Scala's had some discussions about those in the past, but one thing that is would make it easier for staff is if we had an agreed to traffic engineer that does all of them, so that the developer doesn't have to pay for one and then we have to review theirs and our assessment doesn't agree with their assessment. That takes months sometimes. So if we could cut that down, I think the developers would really appreciate just the speed that that would happen. Just have an on-call traffic engineer that says, okay, here's the scenario, this is our assessment, this is what you should pay for, and they know a little bit more up front than, say, after iterations of, you know, paying a traffic engineer to come back with comments and comments and comments.
I like that. That's an interesting
idea. Why don't we have
idea.
That now?
We just don't. I mean, it's dependent upon the impact to like so many homes. You know, if it's at 100 homes, then we have the developer do that. If it's commercial, it's pretty much standard that that's going to happen. So
why is it sometimes you guys, sometimes the developer that pays for that or provides it?
There's a lot of assumptions when are made, and so when those assumptions aren't in agreement with what we feel historically how things have been done, then we negotiate that back with the traffic engineer that the developers hired. Obviously, from their standpoint, the less infrastructure they have to put in toward off-site improvements, the more they can save money or put it toward their project. Obviously, the city's looking out for what's best for the public and the impact that comes. So, but if we had somebody that we agree to, we know we can go right in and ship it in, and both sides, or I say sides, both the development and the city are agreement that what this traffic engineer is going to say, this is what we feel from a professional standpoint is going to be an impact to the surrounding development or whatever, I think you'd save months in those kind of discussions and negotiations. So that's just an idea we thought, you know, might.
So that would be you're perceiving that would be like a contractual relationship, or it would be additional staff?
That would be a third party, yeah.
A third party.
There'd be concern about who'd hire the third party. You establish a third party that the contractor would hire.
I think we would probably work with the development community to see if we could find a traffic engineer that, and you know, there's a particular one that we all tend to use in a lot of cases in Columbia that we've had both from the development side and the city side. And do you, so,
do you use long-term consulting agreements now?
Mm-hmm. We can get into five-year agreements.
Yeah, so if they could have consistency for 5 years, do an RFP. And
if it's not agreeable every year, you could just not renew it and maybe go to somebody else that we could agree upon. And just kind of take that whole situation out of the
It would prohibit the contractor from hiring their own just to look for their own best interest to convey a message, or they can trust the results of the.
We just find that it just takes a sometimes an outside consultant doesn't know our city like we do, and so there are vast numbers of firms that do this, and we find that some are not as familiar with what the city. So our staff is constantly negotiating. No, you need to address this. You need to address this. We need to, and then we can also do a lot of forecasting and get that information out to the consultants so that they know, you know, whether the impact is short term or long term and who's responsible. I don't think, you know, a development should be paying for a 20-year impact. I mean, that's something that, as a city, we see growth and uses of the roads. So those are things that we can work out with a consultant. But that's just an idea. It's not something, you know, we're. But I think it's something to consider. And I don't know, Cody, if you know, if you thought that would save a lot of time from the development side, that would be something we would. We would be agreeable to that.
Very interesting. I like
so,
that.
So, yes, I have a. I would like to step that back just a minute and take a little higher view based on some of your comments about that. One is the idea of assumptions. I'm almost hearing that there is a problem with sort of documentation and established policy that sets forth what the negotiating process is going to be like, what's going to be included. I mean, we have. You know, literally, people have been planning cities for a couple of thousand years. So there's really good modeling and ability to predict what's going to happen. So are some of our issues that we could use some more transparency and consistency in how the rules are stated and what's going to be.
Well, there's traffic generation, ITE numbers, and things like that, and assumed growth and assumed peak hour and different things like that that some people have opinions about whether it's going to create an impact and what that threshold is and when that occurs. Is it this development that's going to happen, or is it going to be just the natural growth of the area is going to create that threshold to kick over. And so, you know, we have those discussions about those things. And
what's natural growth? What do you mean by natural growth?
Well, we anticipate 2%, you know, projection of traffic just citywide. And sometimes we've been hitting that. Sometimes it's been less. Sometimes it's more. So
let's see, David, what threshold or size of development kicks in a traffic study?
I think commercials are an automatic kick in a traffic study, and then a residential development. I think if it's over 100 homes, then we'll need to have a traffic study for the subdivision and the impact that it's as it connects to the just adjacent system network, if you will, because every subdivision is going to stub to an adjacent property.
Yeah,
you know, that's part of our requirement. So,
yeah, I think you're onto something a little bit there, Tracy, because the rules aren't real clear. You do have wording in there, traffic studies, 100 lots, or I think it's, I don't know if on your straight zoning or if it's on your planned zoning for commercial, you require that. But then, how far out do you go? Which intersection do you just look at? You know, the road directly in front of you, and what is the exact? I mean, there's a lot of stuff in those traffic studies that are up to the professional judgment of the traffic engineer as far as how you route the trips, the peak hour time, the growth of this, how many trips this one development will have if it's a multi-use type development, and maybe it's a speculative type of thing. You really, there's a lot of, yeah. And just to try to explain to Kim a little bit what you were like earlier, I think you were like, who's paying for these, or why is there, you know, multiple traffic? So if the city requires a traffic study and the developer comes forward with a traffic study, and it says this intersection is fine the way it is. There's also the rating system. So where in this rating system, right now the city ordinance doesn't say if the intersection goes from a C to a D, you need to improve it. It doesn't say that. So it's up to the report writer, the professional engineer, to say, yes, you've met a threshold that you need to improve it, or you're not quite there yet, but the next development probably will trip it up. But you still had quite a bit of contribution to the failure of the future intersection. But, you know, the engineer saying you aren't making it fail, so the developer's like, why should I pay for it if I'm not making it fail? For example, back in 2012, I think we did that break time, would be break time at Grindstone and Rock Quarry, and the traffic engineer said that we were not making the intersection fail. The city engineers thought dual lefts on, you know, widening Rock Quarry is what needed to be done for the future expansion of that intersection to make it function properly in the future, and that's what, you know, the future growth dictated, and that's what their models showed that intersection needed. Although at this current time, if you had those dual lanes and didn't improve any of the other legs of the intersection, you actually had a reduction in level service because you no longer had a free left or a yield left. You know, now you had to stop left and you had to wait for a dedicated green turn left. And so you actually, you know, the developer's engineer said that the city's fix was actually a reduction. So there is a lot of negotiation. So just requiring a traffic study to me doesn't go near far enough. So you're like transparency, having more clear rules on where the failure is, where the contribution is, and is it a stepped kind of thing? And, you know, if you are creating some additional load to the system, I mean, that's where the negotiation is. What's the percentage of the future improvement that needs to be funded by this developer? I thought I had another point there.
Well, and in some cases, and you're right, there have been issues where that it's pretty obvious that maybe a diesel lane and maybe a turn pocket at an intersection is going to be warranted just because of experience that we've had with the development and things. And so if we can get to that developer and make those comments and say, you know, in lieu of a traffic study, you know, these are the improvements that we have traditionally seen at these.
And that's generally what gets done, because that's what you're going to need.
And that saves the money of hiring a traffic engineer, because I don't know, those can be pretty expensive from the developer side. So, you know, if it's, I guess what I'm getting at, if the ultimate answer is going to be what we both know is going to be there, then we have, you know, made those discussions with the developer and said, you know, if this is the improvement that we think that's going to be appropriate for the type of development. And in lieu of hiring an engineer to do the traffic study, they'll just agree to do those improvements. And that saves
ultimately
money.
That's what happened on that one. The developer agreed, you know, we'll do what you guys think's best for the intersection. But goes directly to it was a negotiation.
And my traffic engineer's not here. And I do think, though, when they give those instructions to the developer, there are some very specific things they want to see on peak hour and different things like that. I think there are some things that you need to show and bring this type of data forward. So there is some criteria.
So you have a checklist or a methodology you require.
And I can get that and share that with you guys. That would be something.
And you use it across the board with everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's some of the consistency to think about is.
I'll get that. I know Richard's not here or Jake, but they'll be able to.
Did you see where zoning would be coming to play for selection of whether traffic study is needed or just building size? Because you could have a small development in a high density area.
Yeah, that plays in with the type of development.
But that would, one is really, you have to define probably when a traffic, if you're going to make everybody use the same traffic consultant, we'd want to have very clear guidance on when it's required, when not.
You know, we would be in support of that. I think staff would, if we could agree that this is, you know, and say we're just going to put the recommendation in this third party and agree with their recommendation, that would save us a lot of staff time as well. So, I mean, if you guys think that's something that want to entertain and talk more about, we'd be able to
especially if developers could, you know, submit their plans early in the process, the concept review stage. Traffic engineer look at it and
You'd know this right then and there. Yeah. You could have an idea of what that would be.
That'd be great.
It would. There would need to be some stipulation that that piece of what becomes a public policy is a public process too. I mean, that's one potential thing to think about in terms of consulting, is that it's still the business of the public and would need to be public information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why is the city not, if a traffic study is required, you said sometimes the developer hires the engineer. What would it take to make this that the city's, whoever they contract with to do the study, is the primary and sole resource of the traffic information? Why is that not the case now?
Well, not every development's going to require a traffic study.
But if it does need one, didn't you say sometimes the developer will hire the engineer?
They always hire the engineer.
But
they
but
pay for it, or they hire him?
Pardon me?
They pay for the engineer, or
yes.
They hire the engineer?
They hire. They hire out a professional engineer to do a traffic study.
That's part of your submittal to the city. You would have a traffic report, a traffic impact study, and you would submit it to the city for review.
Theoretically, that should always maybe have the same outcome, regardless of who hires you. But it probably doesn't. So I wonder if we're talking about a public interest, why the city's not already the one that does the contract with the engineer and what?
Well, that's not wouldn't be a city expense.
But maybe that's then you negotiate, and that's an expectation the developer always pays then for it. But you all do the hiring.
Well, we would. I think
or contracting.
We'd come with an agreed upon firm through a public process that says that this will be our third party reviewer for a period of time.
And what would it take to make that, to get that piece locked in, that's the way it's going to be? Is that an ordinance?
I guess an agreement with the development community.
The council would ultimately have to write an ordinance that
yes.
said this.
Correct.
Is
it would change. It would have to change the ordinance. But then,
right.
You know, we solicit and do the qualifications base now for consultants. So that process is an open process that we do now. And that's, like I said, I don't know of any other communities doing that, but it still
would be, wouldn't have the exact predictability that, you know, a straight development fee increase would have, but it would definitely be a step in the right direction. I think it's definitely interesting.
It would take a lot of negotiation out and save a lot of time.
You still have to develop some criteria as far
Absolutely.
As what percentage of contribution to the degrading of the intersection is associated to the developer, or when they do have to start giving you money, and or do they have to completely do the improvement, or where what those lines are.
And if it was somebody that was used to Columbia, they would understand our traffic growth and our patterns.
Yeah, you'd have some continuity between
Correct.
Each development, and you know, if you have 5-year
or you know, that somebody hires a firm out of California to do a traffic study here, it's not the same as if we had.
Right. Thank you.
Let's see, David, one more thing. So in summary, then the development goes through a sufficiency determination for traffic,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And then that is independent of the development fees they pay. And then if the sufficiency evaluation requires other road improvements, then that becomes another development cost that they have to pay.
That's correct. And so the development fee goes into the city's CIP
right.
for arterials and collectors. So that would be another recommendation if you wanted that money to
and
go
this,
somewhere else besides the arterials and collectors.
And then the sufficiency development fee goes actually to the project to develop or change that.
Or the surrounding impacts. Mm-hmm. And that is totally different than the development fees that we do collect.
Right.
Can you really separate development fees projects versus your normal maintenance projects?
I'm sorry, say
you again. You separate the projects that are funded with development fees versus maintenance. It all goes in the same pool.
It goes right now, by ordinance, it goes to our capital
Yeah. So it just goes to the capital fund. Mm-hmm. Which
or expansion.
Which could be expansion, extension. You know,
and it could be used anywhere.
Flow improvement, but or it could also be just overlayment, you know, maintenance work.
Correct. If there is a desire, you could maybe stipulate that if a development occurred within a boundary or a zone, and that maybe that those funds stay within that area. I don't know what geographically that could be, because right now it just goes into all roads, no matter where they're at. So, I mean, if you know, the development in the Southwest has really been intense, then if they had set aside all that development fee for something within that region, you know, then that would then pay for more of the improvements in that area. So you could look at it if that's so. If something were happening in the Northeast or the Northwest, then you know the monies would
be
stay.
Logical. I don't know if it's you would
it
sacrifice
be a,
simplicity. For
yeah, it could be a tracking nightmare too.
I don't know if you'd want to get into that.
You seems like it'd be easier just to find that it gets rolled into, you know, extensions, expansions,
and that's kind of what we're
and not just general maintenance that should be coming from our tax revenue.
And it, general maintenance is a different, yeah, it's a, yeah. That's a transportation
sales tax. Development doesn't go to maintenance.
Yeah, I mean, that's so. What we did and shouldn't.
I would find the idea of geographic sort of budgeting to have some potential real downsides in terms of favoring some areas over another intentionally or
political.
Unintentionally.
It can be very
yeah.
political.
Correct, because then you might have to sacrifice improvements in another area just due to the lack of funding.
Right.
So then... if we would try to examine or ascertain if there was a weakness in that process, would it be embedded in the traffic study? Knowing that
I think that's where the what's the word I'm looking for? You get
ambiguity.
Yeah, of the improvement. I think that traffic study is a give and take process that sometimes can take a while to.
Okay. And then, let's see, David, is help me out a little bit. Then, in Carl Scala's trip generation model, how is there a relationship to the traffic study?
I think there are some points in there that a higher generation of like a fast food.
Yeah.
Even though it may be 10,000 square feet, is going to generate more traffic than an office building of 10,000 square feet.
But then, let's see, that strikes at, though, the development fee rather than the sufficiency.
No, because they're the same square foot, so they're going to pay the same amount in development fee.
Okay, but if let's see, if we had a trip generation model, would we still have the traffic study?
Yes, I think the trip generation, okay. I'm jumping in here, I don't know, but I think the okay. trip generation fee is in place of the flat 50-cent development fee.
Okay,
you would determine that fee based on trip generation, but you would still have the potential for
that's what I was,
negotiated
that's
or
what
traffic
I was
study fee and
make
other
sure
stuff.
I
so from a policy perspective, you'd be looking at both intensity
okay,
of
helps.
Use as well as space.
There's a lot of things that I think are flaws in the trip generation as far as what is actually generated and what is being captured from pass through. And I mean, it's the neighborhoods that generate the traffic. I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at the trip generation to me. So sometimes I don't know if that's the greatest way to go about it, but.
No,
we tried
mean,
in the city
from a higher level.
A
it just
years.
Makes more sense that a fast food at 10,000 square feet is going to have more trips a day to that than an office building. I mean, from a high
but
level.
But only if it's conveniently
David?
Located.
Right,
and it's
so,
not going to go there without the traffic. You know, without the neighborhoods, they're not going to go in.
And that's right. And that's why that growth and this area of traffic growth and projection is all plays into that. So what percent is that? New development causing for that, and that's where you get into just a lot of that discussion
would,
and debate.
David, would example that be Popeyes?
Popeyes,
just a point, I guess.
But that's that. If, for example, that did not require a traffic study.
I think they had zoning that was there.
So if you have straight zoning, you don't have to have.
That's exactly right.
And it also, and it's on a MoDOT road. But
and they already had the driveways. So there wasn't a driving permit that was needed. And so everything was in place. And so
I was just for these guys more than anything that it's the traffic study is not just a blanket. You have to get it every time you develop.
Well, that, yeah, like I said, that one's was on MoDOT's right away there. So I'm not sure what they required with that.
It's just submit your plans and then they review it with their engineers. I was actually the civil engineer on that.
Oh, really?
For better or worse.
You know, an idea in support of the, or you want to call it the independent traffic engineer or whatever, would be that person would have cumulative data. That seems that would lend itself to an improvement.
And I think they would be consistent because there would be similar developments that would come in. And so I think they could use the same engineering judgment on that. So.
Right. I think that any contract like that would need to be a matter of public record. So really the city would end up with that data and have some responsibility for that analysis in the long term. I mean, you would be buying the service, so it would be your data.
Well, we would negotiate with the development community on the selection, but it would be the developer that would pay them to do that study.
Right, but you could still contractually require that the city gets the data so that it can build that sort of knowledge over time and have an evidence-based and empirical approach to negotiating these pieces. I mean, why wouldn't you want to have that information?
Yes, we would want that.
Yeah.
I would. So you were thinking that the developer would pay for those studies. I was thinking the city would just subsidize that as part of the cost of, you know, as a service.
Well, it wouldn't be needed without the development. So I don't know. That would be something as a recommendation.
I mean, it would be additional cost. You're right, but
I could see where there'd be
if the city paid for
speculative
it.
Development that they may start a traffic study and then pull out, and then you've got the expense, and then how do you recoup that if they haven't paid a fee? So, I mean, right now they pay the
but
fee.
I think
they pay the fee now. I mean, it could be a negotiated because, I mean, we do have staff time, a lot of staff time that spends on reading and going through development agreements. So, yeah, we do have an expense in that. So maybe that would be something we'd negotiate then. That would save something to think about. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't do the study without somebody bringing forward the development. And so, I mean, that the emphasis, you know, it's being done because of somebody bringing in a development.
So when is typically that triggered?
Pardon me?
When is that? I mean, once they're bringing a development plan, is that when it normally is triggered for the traffic study?
It's, like I said, for commercial, anytime they need a change in
construction
zone,
plans, construction or plans. I guess when you submit a rezoning request,
how often
if it's part of a plan
those projects just kind of disappear after a while? I mean, would there be expenses incurred that would never be recouped because the development didn't go forward?
The property's not rezoned.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the developer's cost because that's their risk, but the city's cost of incurring, you know, expenses.
Correct. If the impact is such that the developer doesn't want to move forward with the project, then, you know, the project would die then because of the off-site impacts could be so costly that it's not a viable development.
That would be my concern about having the city hire the consultant because you'd have to have money up front to cover the cost, and project dies and goes away, they'd be hung with the cost because the consultant wants to recoup their expenses no matter what.
But yeah, somebody would be paying the consultant at all times.
Right.
But I think I was trying to think that the benefit of having that engineer, of being able to get a preliminary report, it wouldn't even have to be a final recommendation, but at some early point in the stage, because I don't think the developer would have a problem paying for the final traffic study, but they're not going to pay for the study until they're pretty sure they're going to do the it's the timing thing, and you apply for it, and then you're pretty far down the road. The whole point of the predictability is not to get that far down the road, and so you know what the costs are earlier in the process.
And maybe that could be discussed at the concept stage so that there's really no investment at that point.
You'd have almost a schematic development or the schematic level.
Yeah. And I guess
that they, maybe they could the stop and not proceed.
I like saying it, but, you know, they could say, you know, we're not going to hold ourselves to what they say at the preliminary stage, but here's what the preliminary traffic report says, and it's just a two-page thing that, you know, is just a brief or something as opposed to the full traffic impact study.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of details that would need to be worked out.
Right.
Like I said, it's a high-level concept. I'm just throwing it out as a way that would save a lot of time.
So
could you develop a recommendation for the task force and run it by Mr. Call, Mr. Crockett, and Dave, and bring it back to task force, let us know what they can agree on?
Regarding the traffic study process.
Yeah, I could think about it and try to come up with something.
That's a good idea.
I think that's what it needs to
happen. Has this group taken a look at the existing administrative process for submission of projects and the review process? I think it would be interesting to look at that documentation.
You're well familiar with that, are you not?
I think it would be valuable for people, but there's a variety of different routes as far as the annexation, rezonings, construction documents, platting. So there's a lot of different routes and stuff.
A lot of variations.
Yeah, variations. Yeah, but
projects are alike.
Well, could Pat Zenner from Community Development give an overview or something of, is he at all involved in does he get, is he?
Oh, absolutely.
Too front end, like the negotiated fees and all?
Absolutely.
Does he, yeah, I wonder, would be of value to have.
I think his opinion at some point would be valuable, yes. Whether it's after we've tried to formulate some sort of something for him to actually look at and review as opposed to him just coming
in. Yeah, he'd have to be very specific about what process you wanted him to comment on, because there are many.
What are we talking about, the cost for a traffic engineer for a study? It can't be more expensive than the cost of a turn lane and a dedicated left, right?
Would it be a situation where this the traffic engineer would be mutually agreed upon, or and then wouldn't that person or that firm be on call, and then they only get paid when they're on call?
Correct.
When they get called, yeah.
As needed basis, yeah.
And be paid by the developer.
Well, that's what I would propose, since they wouldn't be needed unless the development was brought forward. I mean, that's right.
I think that protects the city against. I think part of developers, when they look at bringing forward a project, that if they have to pay for it, I think there is a different level of accountability and a different level of interest in the project before they'll go to that step of investment. If somebody else is paying for it, I just have been in too many discussions where people are like, well, let's just go have a concept review. It doesn't hurt anything. Well, let's just go have a traffic study. It doesn't hurt anything. It doesn't cost us anything. And I think that the onus needs to be back on the developer if we're going to initiate that. They need to be really serious. They need to have their business plan in place. They really need to know that this is a viable project with or without the traffic study before they come and have, you know, if the city's going to pay for it. I think that
there'd be nothing to prohibit that private developer to go hire their own consultant to do their preliminary study and evaluation first before they even
absolutely
go forth with a formalized traffic study with the consultant the city recommends or requires them to use, so they can get at least their own private opinion on what they want to do. Really, once it goes to the city's consultant, that it's going to start becoming public.
Well,
they may not want it public.
I was thinking it'd be a mutual agreeable consultant, and maybe they could make a quick call to that consultant, just, and of course, you know, whatever agreement they have that says, you know, before we launch into this, what would be your perception of this type of impact? And maybe that would be something they'd know right up front, whether they wanted to pursue something, you know, from a cost standpoint, and save them some time and money at that point too.
Yeah, I not knowing much about it, but the concept review portion, seems to me like it's just a whole bunch of free city work. Kind of like Jen was saying, it's just, you know, throw it out there and see if it sticks. And there's a lot of manpower behind those meetings.
Correct.
All the different departments, and I wonder if...
We're there to provide information to
right.
to the public, to people that inquire about, is infrastructure in place, or, you know, lots of questions. And it's the beginning to say, is this a realistic, viable development? And the staff's there to provide whatever information we can at the time.
It just seems odd that when we are debating about the cost of a traffic study for a developer that wants to develop something, it seems like...
I don't think it's the cost.
That should be certainly not an expense borne by...
It's the result and the timing of the result. And trying to get something that the city will semi-stand behind at an early stage, like the concept review, as opposed to we get the developer hires a traffic engineer early in the stages, like I was mentioning at the Grindstone one, and it said that no improvements were needed, and then they submit plans, and the city engineers are like, wait a second, our traffic study said something like we need this, and MoDOT says we need this, something different, and so then you have three different things. And
but do you have the same situation with the water folks or the public safety folks saying that we need, it's not going to work without, you know, upgrading this or that? I mean, do there are those issues too?
And a lot of times they'll know that at the concept review what the capacity is of the adjacent infrastructure, whether there's fire flow or sewer capacity. Or
is it just the traffic that has is the one that's more subjective or something?
Subjective. Based upon impacts to the road network.
How is it subjective?
Most capital cost.
Very expensive. Because there's a lot of, there's sometimes right away has to be either obtained, whether they grant it or have to get it from somebody else. And when that happens, that adds cost and time as well. Because if you have to widen, and if the widening doesn't all occur on the development property, it may have to get easement from somebody else.
And the city goes after those or handles
the
handles
would require the developer
those.
To get that as part of the impact, which is expensive and timely.
Let's see, David, just as a matter of comparison, it's and Kim, it appears to me it's easier to predict the flow of water and the flow of sewer and the flow of electricity, but the flow of traffic is a different animal, and you get the variability or the assumptions become more difficult to make, to know that you assume this and you have a good comfort factor that it's going to follow that assumption.
And a lot of engineering judgment on that.
So yeah. And
based upon experience and.
Yeah. Let's see, just as another, does the city continually do traffic counts?
Yes, we do. And we put those into models for the projected growth.
And yeah, then that data is connected to the traffic study.
Yes, and we will provide that so that they have that information as
okay,
well.
Okay, there's that helps a little bit.
So then you know what background growth is versus impact growth.
And how do you plan your traffic counts? Do you have an annual plan for traffic counts, or do you?
Yes, we do, and I'm not exactly sure how we go about that. That would be something, but we do on our arterials and collectors, and kind of similar to what MoDOT does, and provide updates with tube counters and different things. And then we have very specific requests for neighborhood calming, and so we do counts for those specific projects. But Right now I have a traffic staff of three, and so with the city of this size, it's we're way under staffed for the type of traffic requests and demands, and so it's very difficult to do the studies, to do the neighborhood calming, to do the counts, and then do, you know, any type of proactive planning. So oh, that's a plug. Anyway.
So have you been working on expanding that staff, or is that a known range plan?
Yeah, it's every year we put in for new staff, but we compete. It's a general fund type staff. So we that same fund funds police, fire, and other entities. So we haven't been able to get more FTEs in that traffic division.
I don't know if everyone is aware, but in Public Works, they have at least two radar guns, and if you want to check yourself the speed of traffic moving by your house,
yeah, we'd be happy to. There's a program neighborhood.
You can check. Yes. You can check that out, and
there are very many people that do that.
You know, there were a few.
I've done it twice.
Our business did, because around Woodard, the traffic is horrible, and one of the employees of one of the offices got hit by was on her bike and got hit by traffic just moving.
Yeah,
still there, but
we have in our neighborhood traffic program. There's like four stages that you can get through. The first stage is really to let the people kind of work it out with them, and somebody could be the champion, and then start tagging people, then maybe they can have a discussion, and then it doesn't need to go any further. Things calm down. The next ramp is, if that doesn't work, then, you know, staff will get involved to help kind of corral an answer of why people are.
And rent out spike strips.
There's four levels.
See, what I did, Cody, is I just went to Westlake and brought me, was probably, I don't know, a 12-penny nail, a box of 12-penny nails, threw them out there on the street.
Good idea.
Pretty well.
Slowed them right down. So the three-person crew that you said you had to do the traffic count piece, is that something that should be funded through general revenue, or is that something specific to the development process?
That wouldn't be difficult, I think, to have the development. We do, when we have capital projects, we do charge time to a capital project or a neighborhood. Once it's funded through a revenue stream other than general fund, then the staff will charge their time to those projects. So that does help spread that cost out. That's a good question.
Most of what they do, I think, would be ongoing maintenance of the system. So the other than the capital improvement projects, you could attribute to development would one of the things, I guess, maybe would be review of development plans.
And that could fund, possibly, depending on the level of development, it could fund, you know, a half-time person or something like that. And I say that's the engineering office. We do have maintenance staff that work on the signal cabinets and the signals and things like that. Those are a different group, but they don't get involved with the traffic review issues.
Okay.
All right, so other issues related to development costs on streets and roads. Thank you, David.
One more question for Dave. And I think we may have chatted about this before, but the development fee that is established now by council, how often is that reviewed? And is there any timetable on that, or is it only when you all bring a request to the council for reevaluation of that fee?
12. It was 10 cents. It went up in like 3-year increment, and it's been plateaued at 2012, I think, at 50 cents. And it hasn't been.
But nothing triggers it unless you bring it to the council with.
Get it for the 2014 ballot issue, right? Because you recommended increasing it to $1, $1.50, $2, the development fee.
I don't believe staff did.
Isn't just staff, but I think your question is
how often
is that fee reviewed? And
does it get too far behind before we before you had to right. you play catch up.
And you know, I don't know. I wouldn't know what the appropriate number is. I mean, I don't know if 50 cents, obviously, from my standpoint, the more money.
Well, not necessarily the amount, but just the review of it.
You process.
How often do you review or do you send updates to council saying, hey, 50 cents is just fine, it's funding what we need, or send a memo to council saying.
No, we haven't really done an update on that. Obviously, when we passed our 2015 ballot, we budgeted the revenue from a 50 cents, you know, square foot to fund the 10-year project. So if it were to increase in this next 10 years, that would help our ability then to.
So do you have an adopted methodology that you use to determine what that rate is?
That is done through the building site codes, and I don't remember if there's any really hard and fast number that says if you have this much square foot, then it goes to a capital project. And I don't know how you would relate that to any.
I don't know
methodology.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting the question, but the 2014 ballot issue was the one that was presented to the public that was $1 a square foot for residential and $1.50 for low traffic and $2 for high traffic. And that was just voted on. I don't know who introduced that, if it was Carl Scala, like introduced that as a new methodology to determine development fees. I don't think city staff has since when that 3-year increase from 10 cents to 50 cents, which was back in 2000 whenever. But I guess that was, I kind of thought was the gist of your question is, when would you guys propose another increase to the development fee?
Well, I guess my.
Or do you just wait on council to say?
And how do you quantify what that increase should be? What's it?
Maybe you can right. make a recommendation and council could then move forward with that.
I think there's
just some sort of regular.
Right now we're getting in a low inflationary period, but we could get into a faster growing period where suddenly you realize that the cost of construction is a lot higher than what you're paying now, and you're not drawing enough revenue in from the fee structure.
Well, too, it's somewhat related to the list of projects.
Well,
you kind of work it.
We funded the projects based upon the anticipated.
Yeah.
Average growth of, or you know, development, like the 1.2 a year, because that's what we've been kind of seeing for the last 2-3 years, and so conservatively we've kind of projected that same amount through the 10-year ballot. It could go, if development really took off, it could go up to, you know, 2 million, or if development slowed way down, it could drop down to 500,000. So that's why we just kind of kept a very conservative revenue stream from development fees. It's just so unpredictable. It's on, yeah. based on the economy, and that's difficult to predict.
Right. So that the actual fee setting could remain fairly flexible, but it would normalize the process more, and people would know better what to expect if there was a review process and a methodology around and a regular cycle around setting fees that was also public, and it might alleviate some pressure around or tension around people's wondering what's going on with how that work gets done.
Let's see, David, but from a CIP standpoint, is what percentage is that money of the total CIP?
Well,
5 point something of capital.
Like I said, it's 1.2 million over 10 years, so 12 million in 12 years. And we've got projected about 99 million in projects over 10 years. So, and with the development fee, we've got the capital.
Right.
And we also have STP funds. That's the pass-through for the MoDOT, which is finding out now they're looking at a different formula for us, which has got us, we're having a meeting with them and saying, well, wait a minute, we were counting on this money, they're making it more of a regional draw, and so we're meeting with them to discuss that proposal, because we are counting on that money from MoDOT as well to supplement.
To balance out the.
And then we also get county revenue of about $2 million a year from a county sales tax that when they rolled back the property tax back, I don't know, 98 or something, when they did that, they said they would offset that with a percentage of assessed value. And I think that sets it about $2 million a year that we get from county, what I call a road rebate or road tax. So there are four kind of funding sources that with our CIP. And any one of them, you know, sales taxes up and down, development fees up and down. So, you know, we just try to be very conservative with our estimates on what revenue would come in.
What's the timeline on the MoDOT conversation and decision?
I think they want to have a comment back sometime this November. So we're meeting with their staff next week or the week after to kind of figure out what's being proposed. This is in that new FAST Act that was the federal highway bill. So our funding is, we need to have a discussion with them.
Other questions or comments? No? Other?
The rentals radar guns out or are they free?
Pardon me?
The rentals radar guns out?
Yeah, we'll issue them out.
So do you rent them?
No. Oh, no, we'll issue them out.
Free. Lee White is
you might
the
recoup
guy.
Some costs if you start charging for them.
Well, it actually saves us money in the long run if we can let a neighborhood fix their own traffic calming issue.
Charge for a lot of services.
I mean, it really those traffic calming projects are so time intensive that it eats up one of my staff, maybe one project may take him 8 months to get through all the meetings and the, you know, the public input, and there's multiple iterations of meetings to we found in some instances if we didn't get through a certain period, a family might move and all the traffic calming issues go away. So
teenagers graduate and go to college
or graduate to college or yeah. So we allow the people to utilize it to really solve a neighborhood issue without staff having to get in the middle of some of those issues. We have traffic calming requests on cul-de-sacs.
Yeah.
So you know, instead of just walking around and talking to the neighbors about, hey, let's all just slow down, they want staff to get in and have meetings about that. And, you know, so we're trying to have other tools for people to do.
I know you had snow removal complaints on cul-de-sacs.
Pardon me?
I know you had snow removal complaints on cul-de-sacs.
Yeah. So, that's why we offer that as a free use of that radar gun.
All right. Any other comments on old business for tonight?
I guess we can move over any fine editing or more formal review of the streets narrative to the next meeting or
on the list. Well, should we all put together our notes from tonight in email, and is it okay to send it to
the Sure.
And we can work on, based on our conversation tonight with David, any additional recommendations we might add?
Yeah, suggestions anybody else has gathered, yeah, send them to me. And I can compile them and or maybe just list them out and maybe we can discuss what we like about each of them.
Okay, so I will leave this on old business for our next agenda, but we'll do that work on it to inform that conversation.
Let's see, Cody, so what's the latest version? Is that the one?
411.
411.
Yeah, 411. Okay.
Yeah.
It'd probably help if you numbered the pages next time.
Oh, these are.
The 411 one did.
Yeah,
I did.
Numbered, yeah.
Number.
Yeah.
The one that I sent out two meetings ago or whatever.
Yeah.
You had made that. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yep. Okay. To the voters.
Yeah, but it's still like the basis for council to put it on the ballot.
Correct. Yeah, right. But then it's not some staff can.
Gotcha.
Council can't change it.
But we could recommend that the fee be reviewed, you know, every, say, 2 years, and then council could decide if they want to take it to the voters or not. But it, that it triggers some type of review to make sure it's current.
Yeah, I just, and
thank you. Okay, so under new business, it's my understanding that there are two different areas left to delve into, sewers and the downtown electric piece. So a couple questions is, one, do we want a presentation from staff or conversation as you have for the previous utilities that you've thought through? And what additional sort of review information conversations do we need to have in order to consider that one and develop recommendations?
Well, the format we've been having is we let staff present to the whole group about the utility and the challenges, their funding, all aspects of that utility, let us ask questions and before we even start drafting any kind of narrative.
Okay.
And I had a question, did Tom Ratterman be allowed to give a presentation on Boone County Regional District involving with city?
I think it probably would be valuable.
I would think so too. I think it.
Okay.
So I have him at the next meeting, maybe.
Some point in time.
Well, I don't know. I was waiting until we get to sewers, but
yeah.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
About. So, well, I guess that's a more basic question. Do you feel like we're ready to move to sewers or to start getting information for sewers?
On the stormwater, we went line by line on the narrative. I thought that was beneficial. So we go line by line on the narrative on the streets, and Cody gets the last review kind of developed.
Yeah, I think we need a working meeting with that narrative with roads before we turn the page, but we could combine and do a city presentation and then do the narrative or just have a separate meeting just for the narrative because it takes time to work through the wordsmithing on those documents.
Have you done any sort of subgroup work where people work together on sort of perfecting a narrative? So there's
I think Greg and Katrina might have at the very stormwater for one thing, bit. But yeah, not general, even though that might be valuable.
I think with this one, since Cody's already basically developed it, we could probably go through the line by line on the streets one without subcommittee.
I do like the idea, though, of going through it, especially after tonight's discussion, and sending some comments or to Cody and then and going over that new document, if there is one, going through that one.
And it would be great if people are comfortable using the edit feature in your word processing program to make comments and stuff, but if not, not a big deal. But if you can, that's probably would be helpful, wouldn't it, Cody?
Yeah,
sure. Okay, good.
One thing that would be a good recommendation is that this room is not real conducive for having close dialogue and development of that. I mean, when we were in one of the smaller conference rooms, especially if we could get up on the screen, we could actually start editing and working on that document right there. In here, it just doesn't set ourselves for this. So if we could schedule a working meeting to do that in a closer format, whether you can edit it live, I think that would be very beneficial. So
okay.
We should end up with a pre-refined document when we're done at that time. I have a question for the city. As far, Dave, how long do you think your sewer presentation is going to take without questions? I don't know. We want to know it all.
I think we want thorough. I mean,
are we going to get the plant tour as well?
That sounds great.
Would the presentation be at the same time as that we do the tour? Could we have the presentation at the facility?
Whatever you'd like. If you'd like to have a one meeting that's just come down to the plant for a tour, I can do that anytime. If you want to do a tour and then a presentation, or a presentation then a tour, I'm willing to do whatever is most convenient for you as a group.
I'd like to see infiltration covered and sewer billing covered.
I have to get somebody from finance to do billing.
Okay, from where to do billing?
Finance would have to do a presentation on billing, because the only billing we do out of the plant is extra strength charges, and there's only one company that gets those charges.
And we'd want to see it, and we'd want to see it based on the new billing system. Is that implemented yet?
No.
Not quite.
I would recommend we do a presentation first and then do a tour afterwards.
Same day?
Well, it doesn't have to be the same day, but close.
I need to check with Carol and make sure that we are meeting all of our public meeting requirements. So I think a tour is great. I think the presentations will probably need to happen in a setting where it's a called meeting.
Well, I agree, because people...
Be noticed as public meetings.
Right.
And we have a relatively large conference room at the plant if you want to do a presentation at the same time. I think it would be doable.
We'll figure that out.
How long does the tour take?
I would say that we'd probably need to allow 45 minutes for a decent tour.
I would prefer not to start on sewer until we've got a little bit more of the other things closed up. I know I think we ended up having the roads presentation, and then we put discussing roads off, and then all of a sudden we were trying to kind of recollect some of the information, and
I agree, Jen.
And so I don't think we're quite ready for sure. Not that we shouldn't start looking ahead and planning for it, but I don't want to be trying to have a presentation of sewer and wrap up.
That's not
just my personal
meeting.
Just because I feel like we got a little bit, it seemed like the roads presentation kind of got, yeah, exactly. We kept discussing and pushing it off and discussing, and then, you know, it kind of got woven in there, but then we still went back and we're still discussing the prior infrastructure.
We had to recap quite a bit.
And we did have to recap. I just think we spent time trying to recap as opposed to being ready to really focus on it and move forward.
It would be good at least to get it scheduled, even if we put a meeting or two out, we have it scheduled for that presentation of the tour, so they have time to prepare.
So there's a tour, a city staff presentation, Tom Roderman from the county presenting. Are there other sewer information resources we want to consider? And also think about documentation. Are there any other? I know that we have some reports and stuff on the website already that Carol's provided for us, but are there other
I think if there's any recent studies done on the sewer system that are still relevant that be available to read or share. Maybe not the whole study, at least the executive summaries.
And the annexation part of the sewer, whatever the ordinance is that requires the annexation to hook up to sewer. City requires.
Right now.
It is on
it
our
is site. On the site.
Policy resolution regarding annexation is on the site now. I think I provided that.
I think that would be an interesting
topic. 2 or 3 meetings ago that I ended up providing that, and Carol, I think, put it on the site.
Okay. I remember we had discussed it. I just didn't realize she'd put it on that grip.
Then the most recent comprehensive document we have is the facilities planning report that was adopted in 2007.
2007?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Also
I hope that's the right year. And then we have a few reports on either specific project or like a inflow and infiltration in specific basins. I can make those available.
I think it'd be worthwhile to capture too during your presentation is any current or pending regulation that you're preparing for, that especially if it has capital implications.
I have a chart that shows all the pending regulations that may come into play.
Sure, there's plenty.
But would you like some of those reports available sooner rather than later? I mean, go ahead and start putting them out there if they're, I don't know how many of them are electronically available.
Yep.
But I can, okay.
Is the 2004 Black and Veatch study on the site yet already, or do you guys use that anymore?
That's the one I was referring to. It was adopted by council, I believe, in 2007.
Oh, okay. So it's dated
2004. It was adopted 2006 or 7, but it was dated 2004.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Same but one. Same All study.
Right. Gotcha.
Well, maybe it makes sense to just get through sewer, and as we close on that, think about the downtown electric work then. So, okay. Other new business comments? All right. The next agenda item is there are any general comments by the public, members of this group or staff, please feel free to join us.
Good evening. My name is John Clark. I live at 403 North 9th Street. Welcome and you for your first night.
Thank you.
I doubt that it is in your packages, and I may be able to find it. But with respect to the street stuff, there was in 2004 and 2005, prior to the 2005 capital improvement sales tax thing, a transportation financing advisory board, and it was made up of a number of people. It was originally chaired and led by an attorney from Stinson something or other, Steve Chin.
Stinson and Mag. Stinson and Mag.
Right now it's maybe Stinson and something else, but whatever the. And so this kind of began in maybe the summer or fall of 2004, and did what I think is some very excellent work through December. There was some kind of glitch, and it turns out that company was let go, and when they came back after December 31st or something, they were often, in my opinion, never, never land. But I think it would be very wise to get all the minutes, certainly from the beginning of that to the end of the year. Specifically, and this is somewhat outdated because I think all things about streets and how you finance those should now include issues about transit. But they went through a process and it said, well, we've got this money coming in. They went through a process looking at how much it was costing. Now, remember, this is only about arterials and connectors. This is not about internal development that is all on the developer, all these kind of things, just about this. And they discovered, they said, I think there's a $10 million annual gap in funding. And the interesting thing is, and they actually got to this level of study, and Steve Chin proposed, and he was the one who introduced the concept in Columbia of the trip destination charge as a usage charge. The trip destination is basically saying, if you're a destination that's going to generate 10,000 round trips a day, somehow, and using in the arterial and collector system, maybe you should be paying for part of that as a capital expense. We already were using the capital sales tax. And a rather interesting group of people on this suggested we need to think about the three of them together: a property tax increase, a trip destination charge, and what went in the 2014 was just a small version of that, and obviously didn't go anywhere because it was not well enough thought out. But as a usage charge, it makes sense. And then the capital improvement sales tax. I think you would find the reading of the minutes up until December 31st, very illuminating in terms of the analysis, the thought about the roads, the thought about the gap, and then about the range and rationale for a multiple funding stream. I wish you luck. I'll see if I can find it. Maybe you can aim the staff at finding these things. We went off the deep end after that, and Tracy Wilson and I formed a group called Tariff to fight a bunch of stuff in the fall because when we came back, I mean, the meeting was chaired by Bill Watkins. It wasn't chaired by, I mean, this was a board, this was a council board and commission kind of thing. But it just went off the deep end and some kind of things. But that first 4.5 month stuff was really quite enlightening, and because there's a very broad spectrum of interest and views that were on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. What was the name of the group, John?
It was the Transportation Financing Advisory Board or Committee or Task Force.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? Okay. In terms of the next meeting, I apologize to the group. I know you had a May 11th meeting scheduled, and I'm already scheduled to be out of town for work. So I was hoping we could think about another May date and then also talk briefly about our meeting schedule for the summer. And I don't know if you had discussed as a group the idea of a regular interval of meetings. Have you thought about doing, looks like, except for the holidays, the group has been meeting every a couple times a month?
Seems like it's been sort of every other week, either Tuesday or Wednesday. We've been alternating.
Is there a pattern to the Tuesday or Wednesday, or?
Mostly just been looking at everybody's calendars and saying which one works best.
Nothing magic.
Okay.
May 12th is good for me.
Does that work for other people?
I can do the 12th.
Same here.
I can do it.
Vote for me.
We moved the meeting up a little earlier today. 7:30 is a little late to start.
Well, I think, Katrina, you said you're not going to be here?
Oh, that week?
Yeah, as I said, for that specific meeting, I guess we could move it up. I think 7:30 was to accommodate.
Yeah, and we could move the meetings to 7 now.
Well, I personally don't have a problem with 7:30, but in this case, if you weren't going to be here at that meeting, then...
I'm just saying that week's really hard for me, but I'm going to try to make it if that week...
Okay. No, right.
I don't see anything on my calendar.
Is the next week on Tuesday or Wednesday better in terms of consensus for everybody, or?
Either works for me.
Either works for you.
18?
Yeah, the 18th.
18th, fine.
I have three teenagers, so
okay.
One of their graduation nights.
Oh, I
so
see.
That's not happening for me, but again, I don't think.
What day of the week was that?
17th.
Is the 17th?
What about 17th?
17th?
Same here.
All right, I think we got a winner. All right.
May 17th?
I have 17. And is 7 okay, Katrina? Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll do that one at 7 p.m.
We want to look to the 1C. Is that what you're talking about, Greg?
Pardon?
Meeting 1C.
Yeah, if we're going to do the narrative.
See if we can work.
And do it working, I'd recommend we get a space where we can.
That one right over there.
Get a screen and
it's
computer access and edit it away.
It'd be that one or
okay.
It's around the corner here.
1A.
1B and 1C.
Okay. Okay. I'll check on
that. Make certain I've got this right. You've got one scheduled for the 12th at 7?
No, we, the 17th.
You decided to not do that week at all?
Not do the 12th, right.
17th at 7, and you would like it in one of these other rooms?
conference room 1C if possible. Thank you.
If that's going to be our date, we go over in fine detail of the streets narrative, yeah. Which, assuming we get all the comments from people and I put that
together. Yeah, a little more time to do that. Another week.
Then 2 weeks from that would be the first.
Yeah, I'm going to actually be gone the 27th through the 9th.
Four.
Me too.
So like the 26th? Yeah. Sometime the 23rd through 26th.
Any of those days works for me.
Maybe later would be better if we're going to meet on the 17th. So like the 25th or 26th.
25th is good here.
25th?
I can't do the 25th.
I can do any of the days.
Days?
I'm good.
All right, the 26th? 5/26.
So would we be looking at doing the sewers at that time? Sewer presentation and tour at that time? Or do we think we're still going to be on streets at that point?
I think we should keep that streets and then the next meeting after you're back have a sewer presentation.
Okay.
Agreed.
Okay.
That one's at 7 p.m. also?
Mm-hmm.
26th is what we're doing?
Yeah.
What room do we want that one in?
Want that in here or in a different room again? I'll go ahead and get it all set up.
Thank you. I don't.
Session room?
I prefer the little room on all of them.
We all prefer the little room.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll ask for one of the other rooms for both of those.
Thank you. Then the week of the 13th, 14th or 15th of June.
Yep, I'm gone.
No, I'll be back on Wednesday.
So
the 15th.
The 15th would work. Does June 15 work?
15? Yes.
Do we want to try for a final June date?
The June 15th will be at 7 in one of the other rooms, or will that be a presentation by Dave?
Is that going to be the
A presentation would
tour?
Probably work better in this room.
Right.
Is that going to be the wastewater tour?
Or that room?
I don't know about the tour. I think that the presentation should be in a place easily accessible to the public.
So do we want to do the tour at a different time than the presentation?
Probably.
Fine.
I guess we could do it like right before. I mean, does it need to be during business hours to do the tour? Or
no, it just needs to be during daylight hours. We wouldn't want to start the tour at 7:30 or 8.
Right.
It wouldn't be fun.
Right.
But we're thinking maybe we could
I mean, it could be whatever time works best for you. It could be 9 o'clock in the morning. It could be 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 okay. o'clock in the evening.
Okay.
Saturday morning.
What date were we looking at doing that?
We were talking about meeting on 6:15 with the presentation.
You need to look today. I can make work any time during the day.
Time works for me.
I've been through there.
You've seen the sewer.
Times.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, maybe we could work on.
What if we did the tour at 6 and then the presentation at 7? That way, if you couldn't make it to the tour, you can make it to the tour.
Right. Will that work?
Well, then, so we would go from the plant to here, though? Is that what you were wanting it here, though,
the
presentation?
Unless you don't want to do a presentation at the plant, we can do a presentation at the plant. I mean,
it's fine. That's fine with me. I know Tracy had mentioned her concern about having a presentation that the public may want to see the plant, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm all for it.
Yeah, we have a decent conference room. We got the projectors, there's screens, and parking, and it's open to the public.
Okay, great.
And we'll post it.
All right.
Easier parking.
Probably.
Well.
No tickets.
Yeah,
no
tickets. At that time of day, it'll be easier parking.
Okay. Okay, so that would start at 6.
What time's the barbecue?
That's at noon.
Okay. And then what about the week of the 27th? Would the 28th or 29th work for folks?
29th, okay.
I can do 29th.
9th? All right. Does that work, Cody?
I think so. Tentatively, yeah.
Okay. All right, and we'll say 7 p.m. for that, too. And,
or
right.
Is that the 28th? The
29th.
Wednesday, whichever one it was.
It's Wednesday, it's the 29th of June. All right. Okay. Any other comments or questions? All right, I think we're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's good.